This is Dan Collymore, and you're listening to the B2 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin and I'm joined by Peter Prickett.
Hi guys.
We're delighted to be joined on the line by former Arsenal trainee Omar Reza. How are you doing, Stephen, Omar?
Great, thank you. Yourselves?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good, thanks.
Right, so you're a product of the Arsenal Academy. How were you spotted?
I was playing for my Sunday club back in the day, which was Chaseside Youth in Southgate, not far from Southgate. Was playing, doing very well, and you know, my scout at the time was Bill Holland.
Yeah.
He watched me on a few occasions, and there was a few other lads who was at Arsenal at the time at that club, so I think they were keeping tracks of them. And it happened, you know, I was doing well, and just got the opportunity to go in and have a couple of games.
So how did you find the facilities at grassroots level in the '90s compared to these days?
I think a lot has changed. The '90s. I mean, I was a full time scholar from 96, but before then I was obviously at Arsenal from the age of 10.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more structured now. I think there's a lot more pathways for players to progress and a lot more corners for coaches to think about. So you know, you've got the social, you've got the psychological, you've got the technical and tactical, and then physical corners that they all think about now with the players. We're back in the day, if you like, yeah. When I was playing. I'd say back in the day, I sound like an old git, but it might have been sort of thought about, but it wasn't so openly discussed, if you like.
Mm. So could you talk us through the trial process at Arsenal at the time?
The trial process at the time was, well, for me, basically, I went in and played these games against, so it was in the holidays, we'd go in and go to London Colney, which is where the first team train, and there was games against sort of county teams or strong sort of strong county teams, if you like, and then we'd be put together with, or I'd play with the boys that were part of the academy, and if they liked what they saw, you'd go in and train, and I think decisions were made based on how you were performing in training and I suppose in games, and yeah, the rest was history after that, really.
So
the process wasn't really a process that I was aware of, more of a sort of an opportunity to play games and train at times for them to have a look at you, really.
Yeah. So do you remember your first day at Arsenal? If you started when you're 10.
Well, I remember the first day I went on trial. It was, like I say, it was quite nerve-wracking. You know, I wanted to be, I knew back in the day, you know, I wanted to be a footballer from a very young age. And I'd been at other clubs, so funny enough, I was at Orient for 10 weeks before then. And they said, you know, and I trained a child for 10 weeks, so you're as good as what we've got, but you're not better. And that was sort of heartbreaking at the age of 8, I think, if I remember. Yeah. I remember it vividly, the conversation with my dad and the coaches that were there at the time. And I went to Watford for a short period, and I was training with the boys who were a year older, because that was the age group that they had. And nothing came of that. And then, yeah, so when I went into Arsenal, it was, you know, it was a daunting time for me, but I wanted it so much, I didn't think I was going to let anything get in my way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So can you tell us about your experience probably your first year or so at the academy?
Well, when I went into full-time football, it was a shock to the system. I think it was a shock to all of our systems. I think, you know, at the time, I don't know, you know, we had people like my age group was sort of, you know, Paolo Van Aert, Dave Livermore, who's assistant manager at Millwall at the moment.
Yeah.
Ashley Cole, Julian Gray, Tommy Black.
Steve Sidwell and Millwall.
We had a strong group, and but we were all shocked, I think, because we had Tom Whalley sort of came in at the time, and he came in from Watford, and he was sort of a hardcore, you know, no nonsense, be fit, work hard sort of coach. And to be fair, he got a lot out of us. You know, I respected him a lot. It was a tough year, though. You know, we'd done a lot of running that year, our first year, and it was a shock to the system. And you question yourself, am I going to get through this? Can I get through this? Have I got the character? You know, even at 17, you're questioning yourself. But I think it was a good sort of grounding for me to really push on and press on. Some people couldn't handle it, couldn't manage it. You know, they fell fell by the wayside, but some of us managed to kick on and sort of go and get careers in the game.
So how intense was the training?
At the first year?
Yeah, yeah.
Or in general?
If we stick to the first year.
It was very intense, you know, we were doing a lot. I think it was the shock of having to do so much running and fitness work, because back then it was focused on sort of being very fit and being full-time and having to train every day anyway, which was a shock to the system as players, but you get used to it. And then, we had to be the best.
Yeah.
You know, when you're at Arsenal, when you're at clubs like Arsenal, it's not about, you know, of course it's about development, and it probably is more so now, but then it was, you know, we are Arsenal, we are the best, and we shouldn't get beaten. And to be fair, we didn't get beaten. Very rarely we got beaten. If we did get beat, it was against teams like the Watfords or the Millwalls that would just come and really try and beat us up.
Yeah.
But it's very rare. And so we had that mentality that is basically driven from the club that, you know, you don't lose. So it was intense. It was intense mentally, it was intense physically. But it was tough, but it was good.
So was there a greater focus on the technical aspects or the physical aspects and the...
First year, we definitely focused on physical with Tom Wally. He was a coach that, you know, you had to be very disciplined. You know, you had to want it and you had to work very hard.
Yeah.
But saying that, he taught me a lot, you know, as a striker. He taught me a lot of, you know, what I needed to do or what I needed to think about to become the best I could be. Now, the second year, when we had Don Howe, we had great coaches. You know, Don Howe was there at the time. He was, you know, an England great. Don Gibbons, Neil Banfield even, who's now part of the first team, great coaches the second year as well, where we did focus on the technical side of the game, but there wasn't really a structure, in all honesty, back then to what we were, the methodology of what we were doing. It was sort of, you know, I think we'd go game to game, what we needed to work on as individuals to try and be the best we could be. It wasn't so much, you know, we were good individuals in a good team, and they just let us go and play, really.
So were you aiming to be the best footballers in the country or the best runners in the country?
Well, you know, you could say that now. I mean, but things have changed along the way. I think the understanding of the physical aspects of the game, what players need, what sort of intensities, what sort of running players need now, is because, you know, more so then it was just about running and getting fit. And you know, you get the odd comment like you just made about, you know, were we going to be, are you runners or are you footballers, which is, you know, you're correct. It's sort of the running that you do now should be based on what the needs of the game. But no, you know, it was different then, and we had to be fit. But yeah, you know, I think the game has changed now slightly, and I think it's probably changed for the better. But saying that, there is times when, you know, you just need a good blow. So we shouldn't really come away from it. We have come away from it, but not totally. You know, so every now and then you need to. If you haven't done enough, you can go and do a run just to get that system going. But in general, things have got an improved. You know, we've got the sports science involved now, which has helped massively towards the conditioning of players.
Yeah. So I mean, I was being slightly facetious with the comment, but would you say that there is a bit? Taking it back to that time, there's a little bit of justification for it, and that bit of justification is actually we didn't know any better. So at the time, that was the best method that we had for footballers and their fitness.
Well, definitely. I mean, that is, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. We wasn't aware of, we wasn't totally, you know, sports science wasn't really around then. Knowing your players, knowing bodies, knowing, you know, what we know today is why we are doing what we're doing for players, which is probably more beneficial, you know, in respect of injuries, in respect of workloads, in respect of all those factors. But back then, yeah, it was the norm to have a separate, you know, to run, to be fit, and to be able to play football. That was the norm. Saying that, you know, we did actually do a lot of sessions that was physically based, possession basically, so, you know, bigger games like we do now, periodisation, bigger areas, smaller areas to get different outcomes fitness wise, and we did do that, but it wasn't made, you know, no one was aware of it. So I think all the things that we do now, I think it was done then, but it wasn't done to a real structure, if you know what I mean, with results that you could see.
Do you think it was done more through a type of instinct and intuition rather than a sit down, think about and justify while you're doing it? Because that seems to be what we're doing in coaching. Everything we do, we have to sit down, think about it and justify it.
Yeah, I think it was more intuitive then, I think. And I think back in the day, but when I was playing more so, it was a lot more players that were coaching, ex-players that were in the game, who had played the game, who sort of know, I suppose, what they felt when they trained, and those sessions that they got a lot of benefits from, they would add to the players that they were coaching at that time. So you had a bit of variety in what you were doing, for one. So, yeah, you know, it's a bit of both, really. I think it was a lot of coaches sort of did what they liked and what they got benefits from, so they gave that to the boys that they were coaching at that time.
All right, so as you progressed through the academy, was the training based more around individual technical training, or was it match-based practice?
It was a bit of both. I'd say it was more team, more team-based. When I was playing, especially coming through and doing well in all the cups, and because we didn't lose much, in all honesty. We didn't really do a lot of individual. Right now, we've got individual objectives for players. We have sessions based on individual objectives. We get small groups, small clusters. I mean, the only real individual stuff we did was, as a striker, I would be finishing. You know, you could say that's sort of individual, individual thing or group. But we would do a bit of link-up play, and there was a whole variety of stuff. But like I said, there was no real titles or anything. It was just done. It was the norm to do it. Now we've got, you've got titles and everything. So now we're getting educated as coaches, we go and I'm doing the advanced youth award at the moment. We're doing the sight call. We've just come off the sight call, and there's words that we're learning now that are mind-boggling, but they still mean the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's just opened up everyone's minds to what we could possibly do to improve players, to make them better in a structured environment, if you like. But now we're even coming away from structure, and we say we need to create chaos for players. Everything's a little bit too structured. So, it's an interesting question. But it's, I'm developing as I go. I'm developing all the time as a coach. But coming back to the question, it was probably more team based. It was more around the team. It was more around getting results.
So was there an emphasis on tactics as well?
I moved on to West Ham in 2000. Well, we were there for 3 years. I think only when we started, playing reserves and stuff, maybe a little bit more tactical. But we understood the game quite well. I think I think now players don't really understand the game, especially younger players. They understand the game less than what we did when we were their age. It's more about, like you say, the technical side of the game on individual, and then try and teach them the game as they get older.
Yeah.
Whereas we was always taught the game from a young age, especially tactically. We had that, we were natural at playing the game, I think, whereas now I think it's a little bit more bring up brilliant individuals and then put them within a system and try and teach them what you want them to do tactically as they get older. I don't know if it's beneficial or not. I don't know. It's, I suppose you give up something when you try and create something else sometimes.
Mm. So how did you find out you were going to get promoted to the first team?
I was playing well. I was playing at the time. They had the structure of the under-19s league.
Yeah.
They had the reserves. So I was fortunate enough to play with the first team players when they were either injured, came back from injury, or we just had a strong team out because they weren't playing. I had the opportunity to play under-19s against very good teams. I was scoring a lot of goals, creating a lot of problems for opposition. Started training with the first team, so it wasn't just like a you're in sort of thing. It was training with the first team, so I was getting on with the first team, getting good comments off of the gaffer and Pat Rice and senior players, and then I've just got the opportunity to be involved with some of the Champions League games and the cup games, and just getting around the first team. So it wasn't really like I was just thrown in. You know, I was there with the team training for a year. Not before, but I was, you know, I was training. I was training all the time and sort of had my foot in there while I was getting the option to sort of get pulled up on the opportunity to get. So it was, you know, I knew I was sort of on the fringes of it because I was getting a lot of good comments from Don Howe, Don Given, Neil Anfield at the time, and Pat Rice, and all liking what I was doing. I was training hard, and yeah, you know, that opportunity came along.
You're getting good comments off Don Howe. You go, you know, something's going right.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I say, it's fortunate to have been coached by Don for a couple of seasons. He was a great guy, a great coach, great man. Learned a lot from him as well. You know, it's clear, precise. And if you didn't do well, you knew about it. And if you did well, you knew about it. So I think that's a good quality to have as a coach.
So before you finish, do you want to plug your social media?
Do I want to plug my social media?
Yeah.
What's that? What's my social media? What, Twitter?
Your Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, if it helps out, I'm on Twitter. If anyone wants to follow me, it's fine. I'll put the Instagram on there every now and then. It's been a joy to have the chat with you guys. I like to be able to talk about, you know, what we're doing and what I'm doing. And you guys are doing a great job as well on your show.
Oh, thank you. I'll put the link in the description so anyone can follow you. So I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'm sure Peter has as well.
You too.
And I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Thank you very much.
That'd be great, yeah. Brilliant. Thanks, both of you.
Cheers.
Thank you. All right.